Well, good morning. We are sailing through uncharted waters this morning. Last Sunday, as we were ending the service and saying goodbye to one another, as I was speaking to different ones in the door and in the lobby, as our staff was greeting you and speaking to you, we had no idea that we would not be seeing one another this Sunday morning. The truth is, this past Friday morning, our staff sat down together and we began to talk about what would be coming in the next few weeks. And even then, we anticipated that we would all be here together this morning. You probably remember I sent you a video telling you about how to conduct yourself during this Sunday morning before we might have to take a break. But the coronavirus found its way into Jefferson County much more quickly than anybody could have imagined. And the county health department encouraged the churches of this area to take a break from meeting together. And we will be both this morning and in the next couple of weeks in order to allow the disease to make its way through our area and hopefully to be together again soon. I'm going to miss seeing you. It seems so strange this morning. I'm grateful we had a couple of folks that showed up. So we do have a congregation this morning, but boy, I miss seeing you. I look around and I see the seats and who is usually in those seats, and it seems kind of lonely this morning. I look forward to when we'll be together again. Before I go into the message, I want to just answer a couple of questions real quickly, okay? The first one is this: what do you need to know in the weeks ahead as far as our church is concerned? One of the things you need to know is our ministry staff is going to be very active. We're not going to conclude the service this morning and go home and not show up again until next Sunday. We'll be where we always are every day. You'll see us working and planning and praying and ministering, and so you can count on our staff. If you need us, we'll be right here at the office, just like we always are. We do want to know about you and your needs. One of the things that's going to be true over these next few weeks, as we're not together on Sundays, as we don't have our prayer list on Wednesday, is it will be a simple thing for something to happen in your life, and we would not know what was going on. So we want to encourage you, if you discover over these next couple of weeks that you have upcoming surgery, if there's tragedy in your family, if something happens or you need someone to talk to, let us know so that we can reach out and do what we can ministering to you. You also need to know that during this time, you're going to be hearing from us regularly. During this time we're apart, one of the things I want to do is to try to send some sort of daily encouraging message to you by email. We'll be sending you short videos that simply give you a word of encouragement and knowledge and strength, and we'll pray with you, and I hope that will be a special time. We'll be sharing information that will be helpful to you. As time goes along and there are things that our church family needs to know, both about what's going on here and even what's going on in our area, we're going to do our best to help you know what is going on. And most of all, please be assured we're going to be praying for you actively and regularly as you go through unusual times, as schools are closed and as businesses have been affected and as lives have been disrupted. You know we will be praying for you. But there's another question I need to address this morning, and it is simply this: and what can you do? What can you do for one another during this time? Number one, you can pray for us. As our staff is praying for you, we need your prayers. We are facing the same sorts of situations you are, and we're trying to help minister to our folks through rocky waters. We need you to pray for us, that we will have wisdom, that we will have strength, that we will be healthy and able to minister to your needs. Please pray for us. Let me encourage you to reach out to one another, to friends who sit on the pew with you, to folks who are in your Sunday school class, to those you care about and family members. Reach out to one another and stay in touch so that we have this network of a loving church family that's going to be taking care of one another during these times. Let me encourage you to be faithful in your stewardship. During these weeks when we are apart, that's going to be a really important area. You can send it, you can drop it by, you can set it aside for the next time we're together. But that's going to be so important because we have ongoing expenses and needs that are just going to continue during this time of crisis. It's going to undergird your staff, not just your ministry staff, but our office staff and our service staff and all the folks that are a part of our church family. Your giving supports the cooperative program. That supports our missionaries, our SBC causes, our Alabama Baptist family. And as we give, we undergird those who are going through their own stresses, particularly those missionaries who are in other lands that are affected by this coronavirus. So many people are blessed when we are faithful. But most of all, let's use this crisis as a challenge to be the body of Christ to one another and in the Lord. Now let me get to my message, and I want to tell you this is a little bit different message than what I have been, than the ones I have been preaching lately. As you know, I began this year talking about the life, and we've been looking at the life of Christ, and in recent weeks, the people that Christ met. But Friday afternoon, as things began to develop, I realized that it was time for a new message, a different one from the one I had prepared for this Sunday. And this message is a message for us in a time when we need to know God is faithful and He is our God of hope. And so this morning, I transition to Psalm 37 for a Sunday so we could talk about that together. You know, it's been a long time since our nation has experienced the kind of uncertainty we've been going through together over the last month. The last time I can remember so many people being affected in such a way and so many folks being uncertain about what to do next was when 9/11 occurred. And our nation was shaken for a while. It's been a long time since a disease brought a nation and a world to its knees. It's been a long time since the stock market has been so unstable. It's been a long time since people have been fearful to go to work or go to school or to church. It's been a long time since you walked into the grocery store and all you saw in front of you were empty shelves. We keep asking, where do we turn for the leadership we need during these uncertain days? Who's going to be in charge of all of this? And we look in all kinds of directions. We look to national leaders and we look to state leaders and we pray for them that they will be effective. In fact, our president and our Southern Baptist Convention have asked us to set this Sunday aside as a national day of prayer for those who are being affected by the coronavirus. We're not just worried about our nation, we're deeply concerned about our own families, about ourselves, concerned about our health. We want to know we're going to be able to meet our material needs. A lot of people right now are going through the kind of spiritual struggle that takes place when you realize you're not bulletproof. You thought you could handle anything that came your way. You were sure you had the resources to meet every challenge, and yet over the past week or two, you've begun to realize there's some things that are just bigger than you are, and you don't know where to turn. Today, we need a message from God, and He provides one in His Word, and that message is hope. What we're experiencing today is nothing new. 3,000 years ago, King David looked out at the world around him. He saw uncertainty, he saw heartache, he saw pain. He watched people as they struggled with hard experiences. He watched nations as they were racked by upheaval. He looked within his own heart and saw his own need for forgiveness, encouragement. And God gave him the word he needed, and that word was hope, and it's a word we need as well. Not hope because of the circumstances around us, but hope that comes from beyond our circumstances. Not hope in the world, but hope in the Lord. Nor is it a general hope. It is hope in the specific promises of God that are found in the 37th Psalm. And we're going to find our strength and our hope in His Word. Before we dig into that, let's share together in a moment of prayer. And Father, now we do come to You, joining believers all across our nation in a great day of prayer. Lord, being reminded by our Southern Baptist leaders to pray for our president, for our congressional leaders, for those who influence policy within our nation, that they might have wisdom and humility in order to provide the guidance to work together for the good of the people of our nation. Father, this morning we want to pray for healthcare workers all across America, for doctors and nurses and practitioners and the folks who clean the hospitals and deal with people. Lord, they're on the front lines right now, and Lord, we need them to be blessed, to be protected, to be effective, to be useful. Lord, we know that some of them are in situations where they feel almost overwhelmed in places in our world and in our nation. We lift them up to You and ask You to bless them. Father, we want to pray for those folks who right now are victims of the coronavirus. Father, we recognize that many have been affected, some in not very serious ways, but Lord, many who are very critically ill because of the infection and the contagion of this virus. And we pray, Lord, that You might bless them. Father, we pray for great healing. We pray, Lord, for encouragement, for restoration. Father, we lift up families that have been affected, and we ask You, Lord, to be with them. Father, we pray for businesses that have been disrupted. Father, we pray for students who find themselves in a long season out of school. Father, we pray for those who are providing spiritual ministry and leadership during a serious time. Father, we pray knowing that we need to put our faith in You and find our strength in You. And Father, that we might trust You to do that which is right. Father, we pray for the passing of this disease. Father, we pray that the moment will come quickly when this sanctuary will be filled with Your people again. And Father, when we can know that the danger has passed and God is faithful. Bless us, Lord, during these days, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 37 gives us some challenges that we need to reach out to and remember as we face a season of crisis, because it tells us some specific things to do. The first thing it says that we should do is this: commit your way to the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Imagine with me for a moment, what would happen if you woke up this morning and you said, you know, I'm really tired of hearing about this virus. I'm so tired of hearing about how contagious it is, about how many people have been affected. I don't want to know how many people have lost their lives. I just want to get away from it all. And so you made the decision, I'm going to find a place where none of this exists. I'm going to find a place where they haven't even heard a word about this disease. But instead of discovering whether such a place exists or not and how to get there, you just decided to pack a suitcase and jump in your car and take off and just assume you will find that place all by yourself. That somehow you will arrive at a destination and you'll say to yourself, you know, this place just feels right. It feels comfortable. It feels safe. I think I'll stay here because I like the way it feels. If you followed that kind of strategy, what are the odds that you would find yourself in the kind of place where you would be safe and away from all troubles? Probably you're going to end up in just as much or more danger than you were before you left, because all you did was trust yourself to find your own way. You know, the same thing is true of anybody who believes they're going to find security and peace by choosing their own path and not depending upon the Lord. Any path to safety that you choose is wasted motion. You need the true hope that only comes from actively committing your way to the Lord. Your way, the path you follow, the things you do, the way you live. Commit your way to the Lord. Hope begins when you make Jesus the practical Lord of your everyday life. You know, right now when everything seems out of control and folks seem to not know where to turn, it's easy to say, you know, I'm going to trust the Lord now. I'm going to depend upon Him. I'm going to talk to Him. I want Him to know that I want Him to take care of me. But you don't just need to commit your way to Him when you're in the middle of a crisis. It has to be part of the lifestyle that you live. When you have a rock-solid conviction that He will lead you, fear cannot gain a foothold in your life. It's amazing how many times people are willing to commit their eternal destiny to the Lord, but they're not sure they want to trust Him on a day-to-day basis. God, You show me the way to heaven. I'll find the rest of the way by myself. We want to know that He's there for the big times, but we want to choose our own way and other things. The Bible says we are to commit our ways to the Lord in a manner that is up close and personal. In times like these, why should you commit your life to Christ's way? You should do that because God knows what you do not know. Because God sees what you do not see. Because God can do what you cannot do. And since God can do it and you can't, nothing makes more sense than to commit your way to the Lord. So how do I do that? If today I'm convicted, if today I realize I've been trusting my own way, but I need somebody a lot bigger than I am, I need the Lord. What do I do? To commit your way to the Lord involves two specific steps. The first step is surrender, to turn over control. If there's ever been a time in our life when we needed to surrender to God's control, this is the time. To be able to say to Him, I've done everything I can to control. I have tried to make myself safe. I have tried to keep my distance from people. I've tried to disinfect everything that I've been able to disinfect. Lord, I even have a basement full of toilet paper. But you haven't surrendered your future to Him. Part of committing your way to the Lord is recognizing, Lord, while I'm doing all I can, there comes a point where I get to the end of me and I need to trust You. I surrender my life into Your hands. Not one of us knows what the next few weeks is going to bring. But God knows. And God can do what we can't do. So let's surrender to Him. And then the second step is simply dependence. To place all of the weight upon Him. One of the reasons I think folks are so anxious these days is because we're trying to carry the weight. Because we think somehow it's up to me. It's up to me to take care of myself. It's up to me to take care of my family. It's up to me to make things all right. But the truth is, I can't carry the weight, and neither can you. But He can. Put the weight of your life on Him and depend upon Him in a practical, daily way. God, I can't. You can. I'm going to trust You. And that leads to the second thing that the psalm tells us to do. Not only do we commit our way to the Lord, the Bible says we are to trust in the Lord. You know, if I were going to give a title to Psalm 37, this is what I would call it. God never sweats. God never sweats. He never gets anxious. He never gets worried. You'll never see a picture in the Bible of God wringing his hands and wondering how things are going to turn out, because God is in control. And that's the primary message of Psalm 37. The Lord always has everything under control. One of the greatest sources of anxiety when we face an unexpected crisis is that sense that everything is out of control. Can I confess something to you? And Judith would amen this. I don't like letting somebody else drive on a long trip. If you want to make me miserable, you put me in a trip that's going to last 3, 4, 5 hours and let somebody else sit in the driver's seat. I don't like losing control. And I think all of us have that within ourselves, that sense that it's up to me. That's why we've seen so many scenes on television of crowds emptying the shelves of things they don't even want, because they think if I do that, then I'm in control. If I'm acting out some way, then I've got this thing handled. To trust the Lord is to realize it is only His strength that is absolutely sufficient. Never forget that He alone is in control. David had to learn that lesson again and again in his life. As a young man, he dealt with dangers and fears as Saul sought to take his life. Over the course of his lifetime, he watched as nations rose and fell. He watched as God built His people up, and then His people tore His people apart because of David's own sin. He struggled with weakness and failure, and he had to learn to trust the Lord in everything. A few years ago, there was a little prayer that circulated around. Before long, it was on t-shirts and magnets on your refrigerator and bumper stickers, and you've probably seen it. And that little prayer read something like this: Lord, help me to remember today that there is nothing that will come my way that You and I can't handle. You remember that? It's cute, it's reassuring. It is absolutely wrong. When it comes to genuine hope, there is no room for I. There is only room for You. Real hope comes from praying a different kind of prayer, one that says this: Lord, help me to remember that You alone can handle anything. And I'm going to trust You. You alone are sufficient for every need. And when you place your trust in the power and the love of Jesus, then your life will absolutely be transformed from darkness into light, from despair into real hope. This is what verse 3 says. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. And when your focus is on God's faithfulness, fear begins to fade away. Then one last thing we need to do this morning. We need to believe that Christ keeps His promises. Verse 5, the Bible says, He shall bring it to pass. The Lord has made a commitment to everyone who trusts in Him. He will be there all the time, in every situation. He will bring it to pass. It's a powerful commitment. It is a lasting commitment. Later in Psalm 37, in verse 25, the Bible says this. It says, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. When your hope is in Christ, that hope will be fulfilled. Doesn't mean there won't be struggles. It doesn't mean there won't be times when you don't understand. It doesn't even mean that you're not going to be pushed to the brink. But it does mean this. As time passes by and you step back and look at the big picture, you will see the loving hand of God at work in whatever happens to you. The Lord's commitment is eternal. David ends this psalm with an incredible promise. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. Security comes from believing my present, my future, my eternity is in the hands of Jesus. We live in uncertain times. This is not the first time we've been through some sort of crisis. There are times when we experience struggles and challenges that threaten to overwhelm us. Some of them affect the whole nation, but some of them affect just one person, just one family. We need to look to Jesus and remember He is in control. Isaiah 26:3 tells us what we need to know. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So where does your hope come from in these uncertain days? Psalm 37 says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So I guess that's my question for you this morning. My question is, where is your hope coming from? In these days when everything seems uncertain and the world seems upside down, where have you committed your way? Who are you depending upon? Who's going to bring it to pass? Who holds your present? Who holds your future? Who holds your life in His loving and secure hands? Because if your answer is not Jesus, then you don't have the hope that you're going to need. Not for today, not for tomorrow, not for this crisis, not for eternity to come. This morning, you may be watching this service and you don't have a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to challenge you today, trust Him as your Savior. Well, how can I do that? I'm not in a sanctuary. I can't walk an aisle. There's not even a pastor that I can talk to. No, but you can talk to the Lord. He's with you. And if you reach out with your heart and it's sincere and real, He will save you right where you are. If you have that sort of need, if you need salvation in your life, let me encourage you to pray a prayer, something very much like this. Lord Jesus, I recognize I've been depending upon myself for far too long. I've thought that I was the one that was in control. I thought that I could make it without you, and today I'm recognizing I need a Savior. So today I'm calling on your name. I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins. I'm inviting you into my life to become my Savior. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you sincerely meant that prayer and if you didn't know Christ, congratulations. You've just become a believer. You've just begun your walk with Jesus, but it's just the beginning. In that time to come, when you're able to be here at church and when you're able to be among people, or if you can pick up the phone and give us a call, we want to talk to you about what it means to follow Jesus. We're ready. We're eager. It's the most exciting thing we get to do. You trust Jesus. Maybe this morning you're watching this and you're a believer, but you're also recognizing, you know what? I've been depending on me. And I've been afraid because I thought I wasn't sufficient to the task. Thank goodness you're not. Maybe today you need to take a few moments as we share a song together to simply say to the Lord, forgive me, change me, take control, Help me to trust you. If you do that, he is faithful.